that he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So he's going to be good to us all the time. We just got to trust him and believe in him. And don't let anything deter us, amen, to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen, amen. To God be the glory. And to all of our visitors, we greet you in the mighty and marvelous name of Jesus the Christ. And we say that it's good to be here. Surely to our returning members, we greet you as well. Amen. And it's good to, amen, seeking, look over to my right and I can say sneak or snuck in the door. Amen. But I'm glad to see, amen, amen, Deacon Fleming over there. Amen. Daniel Fleming, praise God. Amen. As well as others. So I won't call any names, but I'm good to see, glad to see all of you all. Amen. In fact, you all look good in Jesus. Amen, amen. We praise him. Amen. If for but a moment as we continue our post-resurrection, and we understand the word post means after resurrection, there are some things that happen in the course of the events of Jesus as he tarried on earth for 40 days. Amen. Now, we had that discussion in Bible study, and I certainly encourage all of you all, we start a new series, amen, in Bible study, amen, on worship, and we want all of you all to come out, amen, on Wednesday evening. I don't have a pen, but if I dropped it, I'm sure I could have heard that, amen. Amen, amen, to come out, amen, and join in with us if your time permits. If it doesn't, make sacrifices. For God so loved the world. Amen. Amen. He sacrificed his only begotten son. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. John chapter number 20. Amen. If you would just put your hand on that as we will report to the Lord in prayer for the anointing of this Holy Spirit and the manifestation. Amen. Before we do anything, may we pray, God, our Father, we thank you. Because you're a good God. You're mighty in all that you do. And because of that, you're worthy of all the praises, the honor, and the glory from us. We realize that we were made for a purpose to praise you, to honor you, and to glorify you. And so, Father, we come to do that. Yet, Master, we also ask that thou would anoint us with your Holy Spirit. Somebody needs you right now, Father. Somebody's going through something, and he or she just doesn't know what to do. But we're trusting in you, Lord, that you will make a way out of no way for us. You will guide us, lead us, protect us, and deliver us. Through your holy preached word, that you encourage us to run on anyhow and see what the end is going to be like. We ask right now, Father, for the real preacher to show up. Use me only as a vessel so that somebody will cry out, what must I do to be saved? It is in the name of Jesus we pray and ask, and for his name's sake we pray, O Lord. Amen, 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 amen. I don't have a short sermon. Praise the Lord. Amen. John chapter number 20. Amen. We will look at verses 27 through 29. John 20. Chapter 20, verse 27 reads, then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Verse 20 says, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You don't mind, just look at your neighbor, amen, and repeat the subject to your neighbor. Neighbor, sometimes you got to believe it, although you can't see it. Amen. Sometimes you got to believe it, although you can't see it. Amen. I need your prayers. My brothers and my sisters, one of the greatest things that I love about the Bible is how honest it is. Because when you read the Bible, you will find in that the pages of scriptures do not gloss over the flaws nor the sins and weakness of people. Even the great heroes of faith are not airbrushed or nor Photoshop to make them look superhuman. The Bible alone within its scripture lets us see the real struggles that people have in seeking how to follow God. Goodwill, have you ever noticed that the Bible doesn't give us any instruction on how to doubt? But doubt comes very naturally for us. For some reason, we are hardwired from birth with the ability to doubt. We are born questioners. Parents know this to be true for themselves. However, not to show any favoritism over one another, but mothers especially know this to be true. Mothers know that among a child's first word when it begins to speak is why? Why? Why, mommy? For some reason, mothers often hear the word why from their children. When asked to do something, more so than fathers, they ask why? Why, why? Even so, with being a pastor, being a preacher, or of the gospel doesn't mean that you don't struggle with doubt, because you too need to see it sometime in order to believe it. I need your prayers here. The Bible is filled with people who are devoted followers of God, but also question their faith and question Jesus about their belief in him. Goodwill, these people are no different than we are. Like us, they doubted Jesus when things didn't go as they hoped or wanted them to go. In fact, let's meet one of them right now. His name is Thomas, and we find him in the book of John. Brothers and sisters, I want you to listen to some of his doubts. It is gut-wrenching and brutally honest. So please listen as we read verse 24 and 27 of our text. 24 says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he," meaning Thomas, "said unto them, Except I see his hand, the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of his nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." If we're honest, we would have to admit that even as pastors, as members of the clergy, as deacons, and as trustees, as members of the body of Jesus Christ, we all have our Thomas moments. But thank goodness that passage doesn't end at verse 26. As we listen to John, we can uncover a couple of practices that are helpful to our soul when we find ourselves in the season of doubts. Just because we don't see things, yet we ought to believe them. And so in order for that to happen, the first thing we must do is, first point is, don't forsake the fellowships of the saints. Let me say it again. In your season of doubt, in order to overcome things that you can't see, but yet you need to believe, don't forsake the fellowship of the saints. I only have 2 points, so I need your prayers and amen. According to John, Jesus convenes a family reunion with his disciples just 1 week after his resurrection. The text suggests they return to the same upper room where he last broke bread with them. John tells us that he had seen nearly all of his disciples during the course of the previous week. Yet it appears that Jesus was not prepared to return to the right hand of the side of his Father until he spent time with all of his disciples and invested time with them to show them the reality of his resurrection. Because for some folks, sin is believing. John tells us that what makes this meeting of the disciples different from the previous encounter of the week is that Thomas, also called Didymus, who had not been there present earlier, was now there to see him for himself, that Jesus was alive. Permit me to insert right here, that is the preference of Jesus, that none of us be lost and all be saved. You see, Goodwill, Jesus loves you so much in that his heart desires is that you spend eternity with him. Now the choice is up to you. You can choose to receive him into your life, although you don't and won't see him on this side, or you can choose to reject him because you don't and won't see him on this side. In other words, sometimes you got to believe it, although you can't see it. Goodwill, it's Jesus' intent that you be saved. Even so, it is here in our text that Jesus refused to return to heaven without giving Thomas an opportunity to choose Jesus for himself. And so the Bible goes on and tells us that Jesus has delayed his second coming until the whole world has heard his gospel. Why? Why? Because he wants all mankind to live with him in harmony. So please, let me point out to you in that Thomas stood at the risk of losing his ultimate blessing because he made the mistake of forsaking the fellowship of the saints. Verse 24 says, but Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. Thomas disobeyed the orders as seen in Matthew 28, verse 10, where Jesus said unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. I need your prayers now. And so when Jesus shows up among the brethren, Thomas was not there. He was missing from the fellowship with Jesus. Saints, there is a blessing. There is a blessing in coming to church. No wonder the word of God tells us in Hebrews 10, 23 and 25. It says, let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. I wish I had some amens in here. Now, I know there are some folks who are quick to point out that you can't get saved simply by coming to church. And I agree, church attendance alone will not save you, but it will strengthen your walk with the Lord. Because in church, it is in church we can praise and worship God. It is in church we can tell God all about our troubles. It is in church we can give God glory. We can magnify God. We can magnify his name. It is in church we can cast our cares upon him. And in faith, God will work things out for our good because he cares for us. Goodwill, when we praise and worship and glorify God in church, blessings come down from above. In fact, Jesus tells us in Matthew 18, verse 19 and 20, as to how things work out when we're in church. He says, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, that they shall ask, and it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 20 says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And so it's best to always come to church. It's best to always praise God on one accord because Jesus will be in the midst. Shucks, some of y'all are just looking at me, and I've tried to tell you, it's always best to come to church and praise God on one accord because Jesus will be in the midst. See, if you're in church and you got problems, you can tell him all about it. If you're in church and you got problems, come on, somebody. Nobody can do you like Jesus. And so it's best to always come to church and praise the Lord on one accord. A couple of months ago, I started my new diet and exercise regime because I'm determined to live until I am 100 years old. I am. Now, to accompany my decision to follow this new lifestyle that I'm trying to live, I don't want to be around people who are pessimistic and negative, always telling me or saying that stuff don't work. You might as well give up. No, but I want to be around people who are going to encourage me in what I'm trying to do. I want to talk to people who have lost weight themselves. I want to hear from folks that have great stories to tell themselves and have compelling testimony themselves, because when I see what they have done, it further convinces me that I can do the same thing. People will sometimes say that they don't go to church because of the people in church. But let me remind you that you go to church with people, not because of the people. Come on, somebody. You see, those same people don't wake you up. They didn't wake you up this morning. They don't make a way out of no way for you. Those same people want to say that they're liars and cheaters and hypocrites in church. And my response is, yes, they are. But there are liars on your job, there are cheaters in your neighborhood where you live, there are hypocrites in your family. But I don't see you quitting your job. I don't see you hiring three men in a truck and moving to another section of the town, or disowning those same blood people who runs in your vein. Make no mistake about this, nobody is perfect. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. At some point along the way, the devil has sifted us all as wheat. Therefore, I have decided that I would rather go to church with a few liars. I'd rather go to church with a few cheaters, with a few hypocrites down here, rather than die and go to hell with all. I'm about to get happy, y'all. With all the liars and all the cheaters and hypocrites for eternity in hell. when I look at this passage that details the reaction and response of Thomas, for some reason, Brother Deacons, I can actually understand his response. Picture this. The other disciples came and found Thomas. And they told him that Jesus, the Messiah, has returned from the dead, resurrected, and lives again. What Thomas says on the surface sounds like the height of suspicion and doubt. He says, until I see the nail print in his hand and the wound in his side, I will not believe. Actually, brothers and sisters, Thomas makes an incredible point. And that is, you're telling me what you're telling me because you have seen Jesus for yourself. You're not telling me this because somebody told you, but you're telling me this because of what you have seen. In other words, Thomas is saying that am I not entitled to have the same benefit experience as you? After all, am I not a disciple? After all, I was there when he fed the hungry, just like you. I was there when he healed the sick, just like you. I was there when he gave sight to the blind, just like you. I was there when he cleansed the leper, just like you. I was there when he called Lazarus back from the grave, just like you. If you're going to expect me to have the same excitement and the same enthusiasm that you're showing me, if you expect me to risk life and limb going around preaching this story, if you expect me to travel the world and convince others to follow Jesus, then I want to have the same experience that you have. And so in order for that to happen, my brothers and sisters, then secondly, although I won't see everything in order to believe everything, and second, in faith, just believe that he lives. That's the last point. In faith, just believe that he lives. Good, we'll make no mistake about this. Christian or not, but not all of us believe everything folk tell us all the time. So let's be real about this. My doubts are my doubts, but they don't have to be your doubts. In verse 25, Thomas says, except I see in his hand the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Goodwill, while I'm preaching and traveling, perhaps somebody just might ask me, well, how do you really know that Jesus is alive, although I've not seen him? I don't know about you, but I don't want to have to say because Peter told me. I don't have to say because James told me or because John told me. But goodwill, I want to be able to say that I know that he lives because in faith I believe he lives. And so because of my faith, I have seen for myself how good Jesus has been to me. I don't want to they say gospel, but because of my own faith, I have my own story to tell that he lives. Saints, you too have your own story. You see, the reason I can stand here and say that God would be a mother to the motherless and a father to the fathers, not because of a they say so testimony, but at one point for me, I had a mother and I had a father, but when my mama and daddy died, Jesus stepped in. Come on. When I cried at night because of my mother's death, when I cried at night because of my father's death, Jesus stepped in and rocked me and said, baby, it's going to be all right. I wish I had some praises in here. You see, I can at my best only tell you what I know more so than what I heard so-and-so said. And so my faith in Jesus causes me to believe in him, although I have never seen him. Come on, somebody, holler back at me. Not only that, but when I tell you the Lord will make a way out of no way and make your enemies leave you alone, for me, that's not a they say testimony. But I'm telling you what I have seen God do for myself. Somebody in here today has seen God turn their lives around, pick them up out of the gutter, liberated them from drugs, gave them a job, put them in a house, place a car in their driveway. And so when they speak, they're not talking about what somebody told them, but they are talking about what they have seen God do for themselves. I wish I had some Holy Ghost helping here. You see, friends, some folks believe that Thomas was only talking, was only saying, folks believe that Thomas was only saying this, I'm not doubting Jesus. I'm just doubting those of you who are telling me the story. I've been around you boys long enough to know that there are some defects in your character. And I'm not prepared to commit my life to a proposition based on what you say. Nathan, you're prejudicial and biased because you ask, can any good come out of Nazareth? Philip, you have been guilty of mistaken identity when you said, show us the Father. James and John, you're backstabbing because you wanted Jesus to put you in the right hand and the left hand. Peter, you denied him 3 times. Matthew, despite being my twin brother, you have stolen tax money. No, if I'm going to preach the gospel of a risen Savior that convinces folks to believe what they can't see, then I do not want to base my sermon on what you say. But I would rather base my sermon on what I know for myself. Sometimes you got to believe it in order to see it. So the Bible says that a week later, Jesus joined Thomas and the other disciples in the upper room. Now consider this. John, the gospel writer, is particular in and precise on his description of Jesus' arrival. Note that he says that Jesus enters the room with the door being closed and the window being shut. I'm almost finished here. Get happy with me. Now I ask you, how does Jesus, Brother Deacons, get in a room where the doors are closed and the windows are shut? Before you become a naysayer, let me remind you that there are some things that a closed door and a shut window cannot keep out. A closed door and a shut window cannot keep out the cold. A closed door and a shut window cannot keep out heat, cannot keep out misery, cannot keep out sickness, cannot keep out depression, cannot keep out broken heart, cannot keep out death. If a closed window and a shut door can't keep those things out, then might I suggest to you that a closed door and a shut window can't keep Jesus out? After all, Jesus is the master of the door. Did he not say that I am the door and no man cometh to the Father but by me? Did he not say that verily, verily, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man opens the door, I would abide with him and he with me? Notice the description that Jesus walks directly to Thomas and says, and so in the words, Thomas, come here, Thomas, I'm here for you. And since you said you needed to see my hand and see my side, here they are. Here they are. Take your own look so that you won't be without faith. But like the other disciples, here you can have your own testimony. Now, my brothers and sisters, I'm almost finished here. It is the next moment that is most impressive to me. Thomas responded by saying, my Lord and... Holler back at me. Good. Well, my God. Let me say, he responded, Daniel, by saying, my Lord and my God. Notice, Thomas never does what he previously stated that he had to do in order to believe. He rejects his own criteria. He never does put his finger in the print in the nail of Jesus. He never does put his hand in the gaping womb of Jesus' side. He takes just one look at Jesus and says, my Lord. And my God. Now that term, my Lord and my God, is a twofold term. My Lord means that you have dominion over my life on earth. I can trust you. I can follow you. I can submit myself to you. I believe in you. I can stand on you. I can depend on you. I was not willing to doubt that the other disciples, but I can do that with you because Jesus, you are my Lord. Saints, know this, you can trust Jesus. You can lean upon his everlasting arm. You can depend on him to make a way out of no way for you because Jesus is your Lord on earth. He's your way maker here on earth. He's your provider on earth. He's your sustainer on earth. He's your protector on earth. He's your guide here on earth. He is your insurance here on earth. And so when Thomas says, my God, he refers to his eternity, to his supreme power and authority. Last page here. When Thomas says, my God, He is acknowledging that even when life on earth down here is no more, he still will have a relationship with God. God is not bound by time and space, but eternity is his address, which means that if he is my Lord here on earth, come on somebody, he will be my God for all of eternity. Yes, I'm thankful for all that God does for me here on earth. But friends, all that he does for me here on earth cannot compare to what he will do with me in eternity. When my body weakens and succumbs to death, he will be with me on the other side, because I don't need to see it to believe it. But my faith in Jesus is all I need. When I can no longer preach and close my eyes, he will be with me on the other side, because I don't need to see it to believe it. But my faith in Jesus is all I need. I wish I had some help in him. When my body returns to the dust, he will be with me on the other side. When they write my name on the gravestone, he will be with me on the other side. When my name becomes but a memory, he will be with me on the other side. When somebody occupies my office at work and somebody stands in this pulpit and preach after me, he will still be with me on the other side. When all is left are the sermons I have preached, he will still be with me on the other side. When others look at the books that I've read and research about him, he will still be with me on the other side. When I give up the ghost on this side of death, he will meet me on the other side. That's because not only is he my Lord on earth, but he is my God forever and ever. So Simon says to Jesus, I thought I needed to put my finger in your hand and my hand in your side, but just one look at Jesus' face has convinced me that you are whom you say you are. You are worthy of my worship. Just one look at Jesus will put faith in your heart. Goodwill will make you put that bottle down, make you throw away your needle, make you clean your life up, make you love your enemies, make you stop lying, make you stop backbiting, make you stop stealing, make you turn your wicked from your ways. Just one look at Jesus will make your life brand new. But saints, I can't close there, because if I close there, I will leave you and me out. Thomas believed because he had the opportunity to see Jesus. But Jesus anticipated that everybody would not sit in the chair that Thomas sat in. So he established a new blessing for those of you who could not fit in the upper room that day. A new blessing for those who were not available with Thomas and the other disciples. A new blessing for those who had not been yet born. Jesus says, Thomas, you believe because you have seen me, but blessed, that's us right there, now good word, blessed are they that believe and have not seen. Friends, Jesus said that Thomas was a believer. But Jesus goes on and said that you and I are blessed if we just believe in him. I know that some religious tradition called Thomas a saint, but Jesus never said he was blessed the way that you and I are going to be blessed. He said Thomas was a believer, but you and I are blessed. We were not there in the upper room, but we're blessed. We were not there at the foot of the cross, but we're still blessed. We were not to watch him disappear in heavens, but you're still blessed. We were not there to see him eat bread and fish, but you're still blessed. We were not there to see his hands and his side and his feet, but good, you're still blessed. Jesus says that we are blessed because we believe. Do I have any believers in here? Although he had not yet seen him, when Jesus said that you are blessed, no imp in hell can take your blessing from you. When Jesus said that you are blessed, no demon can steal your blessing from you. When Jesus said that you are blessed, no enemy can take it from you. When Jesus said that you are blessed, no complainer can erase it. When Jesus said that you are blessed, no gossiper can change it. When he says you are blessed, no liar can alter it. For this joy, that's why I love that song that said, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. You're blessed. Why? You may not see him, but if you believe that he lives, you're blessed. Why? Because You may never see him on this side, but if you work on this side, if you praise him on this side, you get your blessing from Jesus. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, you just got to believe him in order. Come on, somebody. Yeah, come on, somebody. You just got to believe that thing. Although you can't see it, he's making a way out for you. Believe that he's curing cancer. Believe that he's erasing any lupus. Believe that he's taking your pain away, your problem away. Believe him. Believe it. Just believe it. Although you can't see it. Do I have any praises in here? Come on, somebody. Come on. Don't let the devil steal your joy. I don't care who you are mad at. You pray over that thing and trust God to fix that problem and that person for you. I'm finished here. It's over now. Sometimes, Linda, sometimes you just got to believe it, although you can't see it. Some good's coming your way. It's coming. Why? Because I believe it. Some blessings are coming your way. Why? Because I believe it. Some restoration coming your way. Why? Because I believe in Jesus. Blessed are those that have not seen yet believe. Go ahead. Give us some praises. Make the devil mad. Give us some praises. Put a praise on your problem. Give us some praises. Let the devil know that no hell, no imp in hell is going to cause me to think otherwise about my Jesus. Why? I can't see it, but I believe that things, I can't see it, but I believe that things are turning around for my good. Come on, somebody. Things are turning around for your good. For your good. Sometimes you just got to what? Believe it, although you can't see it. Come on, somebody, give us some praises. Hallelujah. 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 Go ahead, choir. I'm gonna drop the mic.